This is Coast Community Radio, and this is Carol. We're going to be coming to you with Arts Live and Local. Going to start right out with some music for my first guest, from Benjamin Britten. Thanks for being here. To introduce my first guest, and fortunately, she's a veteran radio person, and so when we need to improvise, we all improvise together. So Dr. Denise Reed is here with me from the North Coast Chorale, and hi. Denise.
How are you? I've been here a few times. We've been doing quite a bit since
yes.
the 1st of December.
It's true, mm-hmm. right? Well, and it's been wonderful. I've gotten to witness a couple of the North Coast Chorale has been here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah,
or parts of the North Coast Chorale. Now, it sounds like this weekend, though, it's the full full chorale, is that right?
Mm-hmm. This is our regular concert.
Let's tell folks it's the Winter Stories.
Yes.
Say the rest?
That's the title.
The title.
Winter Stories.
Happening.
And I'll explain a little about that
okay,
maybe
let me
later.
Just give the logistics
here.
It's tomorrow evening. That's the 21st, Saturday at 7 p.m., Sunday at 2 p.m., and this is all happening at the Performing Arts Center on 16th and Franklin. Okay, so you've got, it sounds as though, and now you have Debbie Lloyd as accompaniment?
Right, she's our regular accompanist.
Okay.
She will do some accompanying, but we've got Sherry Walker on the harp for the Ceremony of Carols.
That's going to be fun.
And String of Pearls will be also performing with us during the second half of our program.
I heard a little of them before, and I mean, I've heard them over the years,
right.
But I thought you were going to be singing with them last weekend, but actually
that was the entire band.
Ah.
Last week it was the entire band.
In
the beginning. Yeah, we didn't want to give away any of our things that we were going to do together before we were going to do them.
Oh, well, this is going to be exciting to have them come in and, and play music for you. So, two parts to the concert, two distinct parts, it looks like. So why don't you tell us about the first half is the celebrating Benjamin Britten, is that
yes,
right?
And this the tie-in, some people said, well, how do those things tie in?
Mm-hmm.
Because some of the songs that we are doing are not necessarily about Christmas, but they are about winter in in
sounds
different places. You know, the first part, the Ceremony of Carols, they're about a winter, and a part of us describing Benjamin Britten's winter, but he takes the carols from some poems he found as he was traveling, but he was traveling during the war in 1942, coming from America, going back to England, and that's where he found these poems, and actually the music was a piece that he needed to, that was commissioned by a harpist. Consequently,
it
is
a
harp.
Right.
It's actually scored for a harp and young voices, actually.
North Coast Chorale.
Well, when I say young voices, I'm talking about schoolboys or like that.
Yeah, we haven't got that.
So that was what it was originally scored for. And then the year, right away, then it was scored for SATB choir. And so that's what we have here performing. The example that you heard was also in German. So this recording I have is in German. But the actual words are old English words that, if you listen carefully, you can make the connection to what they would be in our modern day language also.
Okay, so, and the reason a lot of us have been hearing about Benjamin Britten is that it's the 100th, it's his 100th birthday. He was born in 1913.
Right.
So he's the 20th century English composer.
Right, we're coming to the end of that. And I just want to say that one of the other pieces that spurred me to get these other numbers was because he has written a very popular piece that has been performed during this year, his War Requiem. That is a very, if you've ever heard it, very poignant piece because he's got a soldier who has just shot another soldier, and he has them speak to each other from this distance, so at close to the end. So it is a very strong piece. And so the second half then, as I was researching Christmas music, all of these songs were written during the 40s. And I say, well, what's that about? All of these, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, all of those. I'll Be Home for Christmas. That's about people trying to find something to make sense. They were at war and they wanted to be home and they had to have this connection. And so all these people were writing these songs about Christmas. That's a time when families are together.
So now tell us some of the other ones. That's very interesting because I never heard that before.
All of them in our second half were written in the 40s.
I'm going to
give you some. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, I'll Be Home for Christmas, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, White Christmas, all of those. And then we're singing some others written during that time, but they also focus on people being together. Let it snow, baby, it's cold outside.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to start our second half off with one that talks about a musician who was drafted and had to play in the Army, but he formed a band too because just to get that feeling of, home back to him, that's Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy.
Oh, man, that's great. That's great. Now, are you singing that with piano or is that going to be with the Pearls?
That will be with piano. I'm not going to go through the list. There are a couple of them that will be with just piano and the others will be with String of Pearls. And they're going to perform a couple of pieces
on their own
also.
Ooh, this is going to be a great concert. Okay. Mm-hmm. So now, again, this is happening tomorrow night. That's the 21st at 7 p.m. And then again on Sunday at 2 p.m. at the Performing Arts Center in Astoria. That's 16th and Franklin. And probably tickets at the door?
Yes, there'll be tickets at the door.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you said what? Now, are there other
pieces?
I'm just wondering, apropos of what you were saying, you've gotten me really curious.
I do have some other pieces at the beginning, but these are English carols. They are popular ones that most people know, but they're commemorating also Benjamin Britten, who's an English composer. Like the Holly and the Ivy, one that everybody knows that one.
Or
and
even if you don't know the title, when you hear the music, you'll say, oh, of course I know that.
Right.
That's what happens to me a lot.
So the whole program is familiar music. Some people have experienced the ceremony of carols. Others haven't. But when you experience, it's what Benjamin Britten does with words and music to make you be able to feel. One of the movements is about a cold winter night. And what he's made the voices do and the harp is just makes you feel that cold almost.
Beautiful. How long is this a ceremony of carols?
The ceremony of carols is about 25 minutes.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay. Because I'm looking here on the album and I'm going, whoa, mm-hmm. there are a lot of cuts on this. There's 11 cuts. Mm-hmm. So you are doing the whole thing.
Yes, we are.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. And you have some soloists for this as well?
Oh, yeah. We have some wonderful soloists for the ceremony of carols and then some soloists for our other English carols, and also some for our second half.
Okay. Now, I don't remember, because I don't have my paper right here, but mm-hmm. somewhere in the press release, you mentioned Nova Scotia. What was that?
That was where he found the poems. Because
because we got Halifax listening, you know.
Oh, really?
On this radio right now. Go ahead.
Because of the war, yeah. then he was on a... He was on a boat that was not really a passenger boat. It was a ship boat. It had it was carrying things, and so it came up
freighter kind of a thing.
There you go. Okay. That's the word I was looking for.
It took two of us, but we got the word.
Yes, and so he was going north, and so as he was going north to avoid these U-boats there.
Ah.
Then he stopped there, and that's where he found the book, which actually was an English book, but that's where he found it. And then he continued on northward over to England.
And that's what inspired him mm-hmm. to write this.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, I love all of these connections. Now, where did he end up dying? Where was he living?
I'm almost sure it's England.
He did go
mm-hmm.
back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he did go back.
Okay.
He came to America, but... during his trip, he just was not that happy with it. And he did some composing here. He did lots of performing here, which was probably really fantastic. A composer that's not as well known or not as well thought of as a prolific composer, but he was. Mm-hmm. In England, he did quite a bit of composing for movies. So thus comes his way of describing things that's very exact.
So what drew you to him? Was it the fact also that it's his 100th birthday?
Yes,
so
it was a birthday celebration,
nice,
and I knew the ceremony of carols and thought that those would be those would be a nice fit for
okay, choir. Just to finish up on him, he lived from 1913 to 1976.
Mm-hmm.
So he was only 63 when he died.
Mm-hmm. He was at that time he was working and recording at that time also.
So apropos of what I just asked you, let me just stretch that a little bit further, since you have many concerts during the year.
Mm-hmm.
How do you decide what you're going to give to the chorale to sing?
Well, a lot of things. In the case of this, it was the 100th birthday.
Yes, and winter and Christmas.
And it was winter, and the ceremony of carols was, for that. There are lots of things that come in. We are hoping to be able to do John Rutter's Mass for the Children, a piece I heard quite a bit ago. A lot of people are familiar with John Rutter's music, just beautiful music.
Yeah.
We just have to get the children. That's our thing. We've been trying to get some children, and we're going to put out some more advertising, and they don't have to do anything or bring anything, just their voices, and we'll teach them the music and possibly even more.
What age are you looking for?
I'm looking for third through sixth graders.
So, 8
yes.
to... Maybe 10 or 12,
12 yes.
or something like that,
right.
Or if your kid can sing
right.
and looks younger, even if they're 16, bring them in. How does if
right.
somebody thinks they might be interested in that, what should they do?
They could call. They should call me,
okay.
and then we'll set up something for them, and we are, anxiously looking for that. Our concert isn't until May, but we can start rehearsing pretty early, maybe
right.
the 1st of February.
That sounds
so
wonderful.
You have my phone number?
I don't. Do you want to
sure.
give that, or else you can
I can give
them.
It to you.
Okay.
503-325-3602.
Okay.
Any parents that are interested, have some children, third through sixth grade, have them give me a call, and
yeah.
they
or
can
if
be
you're
a part
a teacher.
Of it. Yes.
And you know that some of the kids in your class can do this. That would be...
Right. This is an added thing to their, you know, things that they're doing in school, their music program. And so for those that aren't dancing, the Nutcracker, for those that are singing, even for those also, it's an extra... Yeah, extra added
absolutely.
Thing.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's a different time of year, so that's good. Okay, well, this is terrific. I'm very much looking forward to this concert. And again, it is tomorrow night at 7, Sunday at 2, Winter Stories with Benjamin Britten's A Ceremony of Carols and some other traditional English carols, and then some jazzier pieces, popular, all popular during World War II, though.
Yes, right.
Good. Okay, we'll see you this weekend.
Right.
Excellent.
And
thank you
I'm
so
off
much.
To sing, doing a singing engagement
yes,
myself.
Yes, tonight you're going to be singing on your own.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. This is, wait, you have to change your hat for this one.
Yeah, I do have to put on a different hat.
Denise sings with a small group called Grand Avenue, and they will be performing tonight from 5 to 6 at the Cannery Pier Hotel during the happy hours. So enjoy.
Okay.
And then get a good night's sleep
yes,
so you'll
I
be
will, so
ready
be
to go
ready
tomorrow.
For tomorrow.
Excellent. Thanks
Thank
for
you,
coming.
Thank you, Carol.
In. You bet. And I did want to mention, since we mentioned the White Christmas, that is playing still at the Coaster, and it is happening this weekend, 7:30 Friday night and Saturday night, and then on Sunday night, they have a special concert, which is our good friend, Catherine Clare, and she's going to be giving us music from Ireland, Scotland, England, Scandinavia, and the USA. And she's got a four friends with her, Ara Lee, Zach Borden, Don Henson, and Anna Lee Driscoll. So it is going to be quite a wonderful concert. That's at 7:30 on Sunday evening at the Coaster. And their number is 503-436-1242. You can call and get tickets for White Christmas and check in with them about the other. Let's hear a little Catherine Clare. And this is from her album Homespun. She's got quite a few. This is Simple Gifts. And I want to send this out to everyone at this season, that we all may remember the simple gifts and the perhaps not simplest, but most important is life and friendship and community and compassion for all sentient beings. Catherine Clare.
Tis a gift to be simple, tis a gift to be free, tis a gift to come round where we ought to be. And when we find ourselves in the place just right, it will be in the valley of love and delight. When true simplicity is gained, to bow and bend, shame to turn, will be our delight till by turning, turning we come round right. Tis a gift to know you through the passing days, tis a gift to love you in so many ways. When we find ourselves standing face to face, 'tis when I truly feel life's grace. When true simplicity is gained, to bow and bend we shan't be ashamed to turn. Turn will be our deal. Turning, turning, we come round right. a gift to know you through the passing years. 'Tis a gift to share your joys and your fears. And when we find ourselves at life's end, I'll feel blessed to have spent it with you, my best friend. When true simplicity is gained, to bow and bend we shan't be ashamed. Turn will be our delight, till by turning we come round right. By turning we come round right.
That is the beautiful music of Catherine Clare. And again, she will be at the Coaster Theater on Sunday evening, this Sunday evening, and that is at 7:30, which seems to be the time, the new time for lots of things at the Coaster these days. And again, the White Christmas is Friday and Saturday night. Also, by the way, this weekend is the last weekend for Scrooged in Astoria at the Astor Street Opry, Friday and Saturday at 7, Sunday at 2. So that's right here in Astoria, 325-6104. What I've got for you right now, though, is something that's not happening until New Year's Eve. So that gives you a little bit of time, but good luck if you're trying to figure out what to do on New Year's Eve, because, well, maybe you can just sort of move around. I'm thinking that's what people are going to have to do, because there's so many good things happening. My guest is the director of the Clatsop County Historical Society, Mac Burns. Welcome, Mac.
Thanks for having me.
Good to see you here. And you're having a New Year's Eve blowout.
We are. This is actually a really fun event, and it's our biggest fundraiser of the year, actually. So it is a fundraiser, but it's
a
more
fun
than anything else.
You did it last year.
We used to do our biggest fundraisers of the year was the holiday dinner that we always used to do the first weekend in December. And then back during the Astoria Bicentennial, we said, let's do something really great, and we want to end the Bicentennial. So we decided to move it to a New Year's Eve event, and people had so much fun, and we kind of got a whole new audience that we said, let's keep doing it. So this is actually the third year that we've done the blowout bash, but in terms of the holiday dinner, you know, it's the 27th year.
I like that. So you got a new generation. Why do you think it brought new people in?
You know, we got a lot of people from Portland and from inland that said, I've always wanted to spend New Year's Eve on the coast. And we've never really seen enough to get us there. And we said, great, well, we'll take advantage of that.
Perhaps.
But it's a fun event. We start with a really nice gourmet, well, we start with a social hour, of course.
Of course.
You can't start anything without a social hour. But then we have a really nice gourmet buffet by Chris Holin from the Baked Alaska Restaurant. The winner of the Iron Coast Coastal this year.
I didn't know that. I just read it, although I wonder, did he win in the past as well?
I don't think because he helped organize it
along
with his wife and the United
Good
Way,
for
of course.
Him.
So I don't know that he's competed before. I'm not sure.
That's pretty exciting.
Great dinner, and we have some fun. And
do you get to ask for certain things, or do you just say, surprise us, to Chris?
You know, a little bit of both. I have a lot of faith in Chris, and he's done very well by the Historical Society in the past. He's been a really good friend of the organization because Bornstein Seafoods helps support this. We know that at least one of the entrees will be some sort
good,
of fish.
Delicious fish.
fresh as can be.
Local fish,
yeah.
Yes.
And then something else as well. But we usually sit down and just chat about a menu, kind of some parameters. And then, again, he donates all of his time, and
it's
incredibly generous to us.
Yeah. You know, ever since Chris and Jennifer came to town, they have been extremely generous, donating their time to various organizations.
Indeed.
And the community in general. So yep. It's going to be delicious, and also a congratulations to Chef Holen.
Yeah.
And then you have some kind of a silent auction.
Yeah, we do a silent auction with some pretty fun, unique items. You know, everybody does an auction, of course.
What do you got?
No matter what nonprofit. But a couple of my favorites, we've actually got a little trip. We chatted with a museum that I made friends with down in Coos Bay, and we're doing a swap. So we've got to stay in Coos Bay and stay at the hotel and visit the museums there.
Nice.
So that's kind of different. And a lot of nice artwork, including an original Bill Dodge that's come into our possession. Mm-hmm. And then one of my favorites is, as wacky as it is the machine gun package.
Uh-oh.
That you get to shoot an old Tommy gun, Thompson machine gun.
Oh, Mac.
You know,
I know you're
it's like
historian.
It's like a Bonnie and Clyde experience.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'd rather watch the movie. But that's me. And I know you're being an historian, I'm sure you appreciate it from that.
Yeah, I'm hoping somebody will buy it for me.
Yeah. Oh, God. You have children, don't you?
Wait a minute. I do.
No guns, sorry. Okay, so that's all during... does that go on during the dinner?
Yeah,
the
that's at the lovely McTavish Room in the Paulson Pavilion at the Liberty Theater.
In Liberty, okay.
And then as soon as we're done there, the part two, the mm-hmm. after party, mm-hmm. Takes place. We go across the street over to the Banker's Suite.
Oh,
yeah.
Whoa. And, upstairs or downstairs?
Both. We kind of take over the whole building.
Oh, my goodness.
And there's live DJ spinning vinyl, mm-hmm. which, you know, some people don't even remember vinyl anymore.
An education, but, right.
Then we've got a cigar tent, and there's a make-your-own ice cream sundae and dancing,
of
course.
The cigar tent is outside,
though. Outside,
right?
Yes. Ha. Yeah.
You know, and, I have to mention, when I was in Ireland, I was...
Oh, the old country now.
Well, there you go. If you looked at Matt Burns, you'd know he's talking the truth. There's no smoking in the pubs there.
Sure.
Which was lovely for me because I can't be around that kind of smoke. And so they have rooms. Mm-hmm. And it's really funny because if you try to go to the bathroom, you pass this door.
Oh, no.
And you can smell things coming from
smoke
under the
door.
Smoke
coming under the, the door.
Yes.
See, I'm not a smoker, so I was kind of struck when somebody first brought this up the first year. They said, you ought to have a cigar tent.
Yeah.
And it was hugely popular. Yeah. It was, people were hanging out there all night.
Women and men?
Both.
All
and,
right.
And smoking the stogies.
Everybody
so.
Wants to get sick.
Yeah, it was kind of
okay.
fun. So I stuck my head out every now and then and waved.
There you go.
But more power to them. And then and there's some casino games, so that's kind of fun.
What is the photo booth?
There's a really funny photo booth. You remember the old photo booths in malls and strip malls
where
you'd climb in with three or four
put
of your friends and you
dollar
get
dollar and you get four photos?
The little strip of four photos. It's the same thing.
Oh.
The photo booth is a little wider, so you can climb, you know, five, six, seven, eight people in there.
My
and there's
goodness.
Funny hats and props. And
is that belong to the historical?
No, it's a group that's been helping us out. And
great.
They'll print on the spot just the same little four strip of photos,
and
they'll
like
cut them in
blessed.
Half, and so at least two of them people can get them,
right.
And then they send them to us online so we can blackmail people later
there
with the wacky photos.
Now, all of this benefits the historical society?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's some expenses in putting a big party on, but it's $100 a ticket,
mm-hmm.
and for
we don't do prices
for an all evening.
You gotta call these guys to find out
gotta,
the rest of the
you gotta call
because there is a special deal if you're a table of eight, or if you just want the after party. So give a call to 503-325-2203. Am I right?
That
is
correct.
A good number?
And you know, when you say this is a fundraiser, that's important because a lot of people hear Clatsop County Historical Society and they think, well, we're a government agency or something like that. And no. We're a poor nonprofit that needs your support, needs your
a wonderful
friendship.
Nonprofit. If you haven't been to the Historical Society, and I must say, I've been a member for a few years.
You have, and thank you for that.
But I've also, even before I was a member, I used to go because I thought it was such a great place. And then I also learned about the archives.
Sure.
And I have become a great appreciator of Lisa Penner and the archives.
I just wish somebody would quickly invent something that we could plug into her brain and just download all the information that is in. Lisa, of course, is our archivist, and most folks
and
know
she
her.
She is amazing. As a matter of fact, my next guest mentioned, maybe it'll come up again, that, you know, that's he used to spend time looking at all of this stuff. She has photographs, and she the main thing is that she can access things. You go in there with a question, and the Historical Society has this large sort of vault or something with all of this. But Lisa's the one who can go, just a minute.
She knows the connections of who lived in what house and who married who.
And brings you the photo or the map.
We've got over 35,000 photographs in our collection. A lot of people don't quite realize that. They just think, oh, you must have a few hundred or a few thousand. It's amazing.
What do you have a show up now?
There's upstairs in the Heritage Museum is till the end of the year is the Michael Foster Oregon Artists.
Only till the end of December.
End of the year, end of the December, so you better hurry in, get in there.
Really?
And, you know, Michael had done during the Bicentennial in 2011, he did Astoria Artists.
Mm-hmm.
And then he branched out this year. We've done Oregon Artists, and we hope to continue working with him. He wants to do national and then international artists. So we have two more Michael Foster shows coming up in the next 3 or 4 years.
How fun. Okay.
Yeah, so you better hurry in.
And what's coming up in January? Do you take a break for a while?
Well, that exhibit will come down, and then we'll put up another one. We're still working on a permanent gallery there, the Immigrant Gallery. And right now, actually, at the Flavel House, we still have tea and plum pudding every afternoon.
That's right. I forget that, you know, this is all one, actually.
See, that's the thing that when people think about whether we're a need, that we're a nonprofit and need support, or whether we're a government agency, we take care of six different buildings. We operate four museums.
Wait. Tell us.
Well, we operate the Uppertown Firefighters Museum.
Okay.
The Heritage Museum, which is the old City Hall, the Flavel House, and then connected to the Flavel House is a different building, the Carriage House, Visitor Center. And then the Oregon Film Museum that we opened a few years ago in the old county jail.
I haven't been there yet.
And then we bought the old Morris Glass building kind of behind the Flavel House.
Okay.
And we're using that as a storage area right now and potential future growth for the Film Museum.
Wow, wonderful. And if someone is a member, because I haven't been to the Film Museum, do they get into
all
of
these? They get in free with a membership.
Oh, folks.
What a smoking deal that is.
This has got to be the best deal in town. And because these places are terrific. Well, thanks for enlightening me. I didn't realize that Michael Foster's show was up at the end of this month. I thought it was through January.
Yeah, so we did the whole year.
We need to get on over there. The address of the Heritage Museum
is 16th and Exchange Streets. And then, of course, the Flavel House and Film Museum are right next to each other. And the Fire Museum is closed for the winter.
Okay, good. So we don't have that as many places to go.
No, you don't have to rush.
Plenty places. Okay, now if you are interested and inspired by this New Year's Eve blowout, it starts, am I right, at about 7 with the
7
social
o'clock
hour?
A social hour, dinner at 8, and then the after party at 9 o'clock-ish.
Okay, so give a call to 503-325-2203, and you can sign up as a single. Or if you get a table of 8 together, you get a nice discount. Or if you have dinner plans already, and it sounds like the whole thing is worth going to. But if you do, then you can go just for the after party. Thank you so much for coming in, Matt.
Thanks for having me, Carol.
Woo! I can't wait to
a great party and helping a great cause.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds wonderful. Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. And I have some music here from Greta Matassa, who is going to be singing with Michael Strickland, the Mike Strickland Quartet with Greta Matassa. This is tomorrow evening at the Liberty at 7:30, Christmas in the Northwest. And I don't have Mike's music, but I've got Greta's, so have a listen. And thanks for being here. Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook. We're right here in Oregon on the very, very wet, rainy coast. And you're going to hear more about it coming up and why we love it here. Mm-hmm.
Inside a silent tear, I have a silent dream that sometimes sails across the patterns of my mind. For silence follows me, and dreams just disappear. And then I find myself inside a silent tear. Sometimes I laugh too much to hide the emptiness, to lose the loneliness. I'm not the laughing kind. I can't say anything I really want to say. I guess I try so hard, I stumble on the way. Always finding love when it's not meant to be. What is reality, and can it be defined? When you're a fool like me, a silent
is Greta Matassa, and she is going to be here tomorrow night with the Mike Strickland Quartet at the Liberty Theater. And the name of that piece that she sang was Inside a Silent Tear. And I wanted to send that out to a lot of people. To our beautiful little Tilly. And to our very special coastal child, Amon. And to Tia, and to Jamela, to Ruth, and to Melech for healing inside a silent tear. Well, what's a tear made up of? What's the answer?
Rain, water.
There we go. That's my next guest. And that's Matt Love, whom we just determined hasn't been here in 8 years, which is criminal. But it's partly because you've been living so far away.
That's correct.
And now...
But not anymore.
You're a local.
I am. I moved to Astoria about a month ago, and this is the city for me. I'd always wanted to get up here. A couple missteps, misstarts, but I finally made the move, and I just find it to be one of the richest cities I've ever been in, and just packed full of stories and life. They come at you. You're practically assaulted by by these characters.
Well,
and
that's,
you know,
perfect for you,
and
isn't
image.
It?
It is. It really is. I've just been walking all over town. The vistas are unparalleled anywhere I've really ever been in the world. And it's just staggering, really.
Okay, folks, now, you know this show goes out all over the world. We stream on coastradio.org. So now, after Matt has introduced you to our city in an appropriate fashion, you'll probably all be streaming here.
Well, the word's out, you know, right?
And if you are, you will be walking in rain most of the time, which happens to be the name of Matt's latest book. Matt, how many books do you have out? Not the quantity over quality, but I'm
this
just
is
curious.
Number 10.
Number 10.
I've had 10 books out in basically the last 11 years.
What were you doing before that?
You know, it's interesting, Carol. I was, you know, living, teaching, traveling, thinking. It took a long time to get the writing going. And moving to the coast 17 years ago now was really the genesis of that, of becoming a writer. I mean, getting free of distraction, finding the ocean, finding the simplicity, and then suddenly I can't seem to turn it off anymore.
Well, that's all the better for us. You also were teaching? What were you
teaching? I was teaching at Newport High School the last 5 years, and then this summer I just sort of had a great run there, great school, missed my kids. Miss all the great collaborations we had together, but I just sort of had an epiphany this summer that I needed a change. I had sort of played the town out as far as my interest in writing about it. I love the area. People were really great to me there. Great school. But I just needed a change, and I always flourish with change, and I seek it out. And so here I am, and I'm still working for the school district in various capacities, but I don't need to be there, and I'm liberated from being in the classroom every day. Mm-hmm. And I'll definitely go back to teaching probably next year. I'm not sure where, maybe around here, but just a year off.
Well, now, didn't you have some of your kids involved in this whole rain project?
Yeah, they get dragooned is the word I use.
Oh, good word.
I don't think
I've ever had anyone use that word on this program.
Well, thank you for that. And it's in a positive way.
Yes.
You know, they kind of get wrapped into my interests.
What were you teaching?
I was teaching Writing 121 inside the high school, photography, journalism, creative writing. I had a dream schedule.
Oh, wow.
So when I was working on this rain book, I mean, we're taking pictures of rain. We're writing about rain. And, of course, they live on the coast. They get it. Mm-hmm. And so they were fascinated by my sort of obsession with this, and they're very much a part of this book. I know you've read most of it, and they're with me with rain. And in 2012, it rained 90 inches in Newport and up here in Astoria. I mean, we got almost a record rainfall. Yeah. Now, this year, we're barely half of that.
Oh.
We're in a kind of a drought this year, in 2013.
Uh-huh. I'm looking out the window saying, huh?
Yeah, but if you think about it, Carol, it really hasn't rained this winter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I would have never written this book in 2013. I had to have...
Isn't that interesting?
...during the record rainfall.
And this was written or attributed to mostly over a two-month period?
Three-month period.
Three-month period.
If listeners remember here, the summer drought of 2012 was the longest recorded summer drought in recorded Oregon history. And if you recall, it didn't rain up until sort of the end of October, November. I mean, everybody was clamoring for it. And like, I was waiting for it to fall. And then I wrote the book in 3 months, basically in real time. It was the easiest book I've ever written.
Interesting. Well, I was trying to just kind of read through it, but I couldn't because I was laughing. And I was also pulling out my paper and pen and pencil, because I would mark the book in pencil, but I would never use a pen in a book. but then I had to write on, you know, so I just had so many different things. You have songs where you've gotten all the possible. Your brain seems to be somewhat encyclopedic. Do you search out the Temptations and a Christmas ripoff dedication? I just wrote myself these little notes with pages, and I thought, well, let me just go through. But actually, what I think I'd rather do is encourage people to read the book themselves and have you perhaps read us something, a part that you've chosen.
You know, it's interesting you should mention that, because I think everybody really, if you live in Oregon, Western Oregon in particular, I mean, you have a rain story. You don't have to really generate it. And, and you know, the thesis in this book, it's about rain, but it's not about the weather. Mm-hmm. That's what the book, it's a metaphor. Mm-hmm. As one guy I met, totally random, called it an epic aphorism on rain. And so you go into it, right?
I'm sorry, but as you speak, I'm remembering some of the things. The way you diss the sun,
yeah.
I must say.
Well, you know, it's I don't think for me, Carol, nothing really interesting centrally or creatively really happens in the sun.
Uh-huh.
It's always in the rain, going out into it, and when I started writing the book, I realized I had so many of these rain stories growing up as a kid in Oregon City. And so this is a short little piece. Do you mind me? This is from December 20th, 2012. This is exactly one year ago today. So I was teaching, and I'll just read this short little riff about how I involve my students in this. And this was, I really miss these guys. Christmas approaches, and my senior English students in second period cling to their sanity by the flimsiest of fog. It has rained 3.39 inches since midnight, with thankfully no end in sight. We might reach 5 inches today, a narcotic level when the going gets weird and the weird turn pro. I turned pro a long time ago and know exactly what to do, dragoon the rookies into my professionalism. My culminating transcendent lesson on Siddhartha, the Hesse novel, is poised to awaken students to the awesome ecological and spiritual possibilities of eternally belonging to the water cycle. They generally prefer it to the crucifixion and the rapture. No gentle and merciful rain in those endings. Rain never judges, by the way. Unfortunately, this lesson will have to wait forever, because rain invites us outside right now with crooked little fingers and a much better lesson. To refuse such an invitation constitutes a crime against making medicine to heal the world. What is this invitation, this better lesson? Buy my seniors a sustainable Christmas present and show them where the money goes. I lead the seniors once more into the watery breach, and we begin sprinting to the thrift store adjacent to campus. They have 10 minutes and 4 choices for gifts: book, record, cassette, or VHS tape. I told them all proceeds from the store benefit the county animal shelter. We will save lives by buying junk. You haven't lived until you've seen 30 high school seniors running to a thrift store in a deluge screaming, "Literature," like the way Captain Picard said it in Star Trek The Next Generation. They don't want to leave, but we have to get back to class. So we streak through the rain and back to class, holding our gifts to the sky. I spent $4.40 and gave the shelter a $50 tip.
Right.
I like to believe I sent the spirit of Christmas rain happily into unknown corners.
Wow.
I was just like, it was awesome.
That
you know?
Is fabulous. I have a big grin on my face. And speaking of the shelter, I know that Sunny shows up a lot.
Sunny is my old invalid husky that's hanging on there, but is my real rain companion and a kind of a foil. I mean, she kind of gets me not into trouble, but just gets me.
She's a good excuse.
She is. And it's a great way to break the ice with somebody on the beach or in rain. And you know, during the writing of the book, I was asking all these people about their rain stories and their obsession and or hatred or whatever. And it's been, Very interesting since the book came out, all the stories that people have been giving me about their reign.
So tell me, things like this,
okay.
The Charles Bukowski.
Uh-huh.
Now, that didn't come from your students, I suspect. He once wrote, people run from rain, but sit in bathtubs full of water.
Yeah. And that's a great line. And Bukowski,
yes,
of course, was in L.A. So rain to people down there or in the desert in Phoenix is completely different. And
but then you have a whole series of rain gallivants, the sun merely beams, rain inebriates, the sun makes you drowsy,
yeah.
Rain ruins guns, the sun keeps powder dry. No bluesman has ever written a song lamenting the appearance of the sun. I am writing that song in book form right now.
Yeah.
So that's what I was, I can't get no satisfaction. And you've pulled in so many. I think this is a real treasure for those of us who live here. I think we'll find a lot of familiar. We'll read this and go, oh, God, yes. But not having been able to articulate it ourselves necessarily. And then to send it to other people.
Yes.
To show them.
That's
why we're here, why we love it here, why we miss it when we, come back from somewhere else.
That's precisely, you just hit upon what, the book has been selling really well around the state, and you hit upon exactly what's been happening, is people are buying the book to convert others and sending it to people in like Arizona,
uh-huh.
Southern California, like, here's why I'm here. I've had a couple people say, I'm sending it to my folks back in the dry lands, mm-hmm. because here's what it is. And you exactly nailed that. And that one section you were reading from was unlike anything I've ever written. It's basically about a 6-page stream of consciousness, mm-hmm. contrasting with the sun. I'd never written anything like that. Mm-hmm. And that took me, I built that over about 3 weeks, and I was just constantly adding and I've never, and Carol, writing this book completely transformed me as a writer. I feel like I'm much more fluid, no mm-hmm. pun intended. There's just more, what's the word for it? I don't know. I got liberated from stricture writing this book. And the stuff I'm working on now is more like this than the straightforward stuff I was writing, for some of the Oregonian essays, some of the previous books, some of my previous columns for Hipfish, which many of these, a couple of these pieces in the book originated in that column. For
wasn't
Hipfish.
That where you stopped at the bars?
Well, that was the first thing I ever wrote was that Let It Pour column for Hipfish. But I wrote the Rain column for them the last year, and that's where I got some interesting feedback from pieces on those. And I think it's important for any burgeoning writer to get your stuff out there, just to get a little
mm-hmm.
reaction.
Mm-hmm.
It's like gigging, playing some music in front of somebody.
Absolutely.
What's happening?
Among the books, the one of the ones that I have a lot of these, but. The Citadel of mm-hmm. the Spirit, which is a big fat thing,
but it's
a lot of different people's.
That was an anthology to celebrate
Billy
Oregon's.
Billy Holtz in there.
Yeah,
remember I read that on the air. Actually,
poorly, dearly departed Billy Holtz.
Yeah.
That was a book commemorating Oregon's 150th birthday, the sesquicentennial, mm-hmm. and that book sold out in 3 months. I could have sold mm-hmm. a lot more. I misjudged people's. interest in that book.
Yeah, well, it's very exciting. I don't know whether there are, we had Ken Kesey, of course, and, mm-hmm. and we have some William Stafford, and now his son. But you seem to be the Oregon author because you keep moving. I mean, you're producing.
I have an eclectic, I never got the big book deal. Maybe that'll come someday, maybe not. I'm not really even seeking that out. I got to do it my own way, mm-hmm. and I distribute my books exclusively in Oregon.
Well, that's a good point. Where can people get this book?
I only sell my books through independent bookstores like, Lucy's and Godfather's, mm-hmm. who've, Charlie's been great to me mm-hmm. at Godfather's over the years. All the coastal bookstores have them. They've been great. I support them.
Mm-hmm.
The bookstores in Seaside and Manzanita, all these places. And Powell's, of course, through my website, nastuckaspitpress.com. You can just Google Matt Love and it'll come up. But I don't sell my books through Amazon. I have a philosophy of that.
I appreciate that because these are local books or regional books. And
they're printed in Oregon, too.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Printed in Oregon. And then sold within Oregon for anybody and everybody. And if an independent bookstore in another part of the country wanted to,
that occasionally happens.
That would be fine. But the idea of this is the time of year we're all talking about it. Buy locally,
yeah.
Support your local artists and so business people.
It's absolutely critical for the success of an independent musician or artist or writer like myself is that people go out and buy that sort of, I liken it to the heirloom tomato you get at the farmer's market. Okay, it costs a little bit more, but it tastes better.
Yeah.
And it's a little discolored. And you know.
But you know what else? And we've been saying this on KMUN, some of the local businesses and groups talk about the idea that when you spend your money here, in the local, not the chains with headquarters in Texas or Mississippi, but right here in Oregon, and especially right here in the community, then the money stays here. It goes around and around and around.
Absolutely.
The same people go out and spend it again and again and again. And that's how we keep our communities vibrant, which in these days is so important. So.
Amen.
Well, I'm looking forward. If folks want to get hold of you, best way?
Just, you can reach me through the website, Nastuka Spit Press. Just Google Matt Love. It comes up. There's a special edition of the Rain Book that I put out that they're interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the book's available. And just support the Rain and support a press and support other local authors. There's a lot of us. That
and
have
poets.
and poets and musicians, and they're out. That stuff is out there.
Well, I think the Rain probably makes part of that happen too in this for you. Thank you so much,
for
Matt.
We're
going to bring you back in on a regular basis. Now that you're here, you can give us commentaries on the area. Maybe we'll even we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. Can I one quick plug?
Please.
I'm reading at the library.
Oh.
Astoria Library on Friday, January 23rd at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
I'm going to be joined by Bay City author Nancy Slavin, and she's going to read from her novel.
Oh, yes.
And then also Stephen Allred, a wonderful short story writer, is coming out from Estacada, and he's going to read from his book. So we've got like three genres going on there.
Okay.
So I'd like to invite everybody to come out to the library. It's free.
Excellent.
You know?
And obviously it will be a fun time, too. What we're going to do is get that information, and we'll be telling you about that on the air. Thank you so much for coming in, Matt.
Wonderful.
Much
Thanks for having me.
Appreciated. Matt Love. The book is Of Walking in Rain, and you can Google him at Matt Love, although Google, I just heard some bad news about Google, but in the meantime.
How do we do what else do we do, right?
Go to your local bookstore and ask them, and I'm sure they'll either have it for you or they'll get it for you. I have a little music, speaking of local artists, from Jennifer Goodenberger. I just heard Jennifer on piano and Shelley Loring on flute last night, a beautiful concert. This is from her latest album, Sonnet. We're going to put that on Evensong, which is the piece she played. I'll be right back. Music playing behind me. I want to let you know again, the Astor Street Opry, Friday and Saturday at 7, Sunday at 2, Scrooged in Astoria last weekend. Coaster Theater, one more weekend for White Christmas. That's Irving Berlin and Catherine Clare. And the band will be there Sunday night at 7:30. The Peninsula, Astoria Artists at the Marketplace is at 229 14th, next door to Gimry's, from 5 to 7 tonight and tomorrow. And Grand Avenue, again, is playing at the Cannery Pier Hotel tomorrow. There's so much more going on, but this is all I can give you right now. North Coast Chorale at 7 at the Performing Arts Center with Winter Stories, and Sunday at 2, Peninsula Performing Arts Center is having a CD release party for Naomi Hooley and Rob Stroop. Winter Wonderland, I wish I had it here to play for you. 12 to 2 tomorrow is Winter Solstice at Wonderland Forest. At the Liberty, Mike Strickland Quartet with Greta Matassa. Southwester Lodge is having some great gigs these days. That's over in Seaview. Girl Haggard, G-E-R-L-E, all-female tribute band to Merle Haggard at 8. Ilwaco Port Market, 10 to 4 at Time Enough Books. Astoria Winter Art Market is 11 to 4, Saturday and Sunday. And the Tea and Plum Pudding at the Flavel House, 1 to 4 every day. Sunday, Jennifer and Shelley, the concert I was just talking about, are going to be playing at St. Catherine's at 3 p.m., and that's between Nehalem and Manzanita on Highway 101. And then Fort George is featuring Side Street Rennie, Rennie and Bell, bluesy and funky. And and let's see, Wednesday, T. Paul's is once again giving their generous Christmas dinner from 12 to 4 to anyone and everyone, and Ned and Dan and Larkin are going to be playing music, Floating Glass Balls, Thursday night at the Bill's Tavern, and so much more.